Back in 1990, I was the student pastor of a four-point charge in North Carolina. That's four churches pastored by one poor soul who had to preach at 8, 9, 10, and 11 o'clock. It's either me that was the poor soul or the members of the congregation who had to hear this message. I had to preach it four times on a Sunday, so I either loved it by the time I was done with it or I hated it. But anyway, I was pastoring Pine Tops, Temperance Hall, McKendree, and Marvin United Methodist Churches in eastern North Carolina. Marvin Church was the oldest town church or city church on the charge inside Rocky Mount, North Carolina. It was a big building, and it didn't have very many people in it. It was a dying congregation, a dying inner city congregation, very different from the country parishes of Pine Tops, Temperance Hall, and McKendree. It was big, and it was drafty, and it was cold, and it was heated by a water boiler down in its basement, and it would pipe hot water all over the building to heat it. Well, one Saturday night, I was at church very late. It was Saturday night. I was trying to finish getting everything ready for the service. I didn't have a secretary at the time, so I was having to prepare the worship bulletins myself. And so I'd finished running them off, and I was going to go take them down to the sanctuary and get everything set up for the next morning. And it was about midnight on a very, very cold January day. And I got out of the office where it was nice and toasty from the space heaters, and the rest of the building was cold, but the system was coming on to get the church warm for Sunday morning. And as I'm walking down the hall, I hear this strange sound, a knocking sound, a clanging sound. And it seemed to follow me down the hall from the mechanical room to the fellowship hall to the education building and on in the sanctuary. I see Jim is smiling. I think he knows what I'm trying to say. And it feels as though I'm being followed. I'm being followed by this clanging, banging sound. Bang, bang, clang, clang. Bang, 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 bang. And of course, I'm a 23-year-old young pastor, and I don't know what this sound is. I'm from Texas. It doesn't get cold here, or less not that cold here. And we don't have those kinds of water boilers, and I didn't know what this sound was. It was scaring me, and I'm going down the hall, and it's following me down the hall, and I'm going faster and faster and faster and faster as it's following me down the hall into the sanctuary. And I go into the sanctuary, and by the way, the whole place is dark. A light on inside. I have a flashlight with me, trying to light this great big empty cavernous sanctuary, and these spooky sounds going bang, bang, clang, clang, tsh, bang, 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 tsh, and it spread out around the walls of the sanctuary as I entered the sanctuary. It's as if this thing, this spooky thing, had followed me from one end of the building to the other. Now, I was right. Something did follow me. Hot water in the pipes, making the building become noisier and noisier as the radiators were filling up with hot water to heat the hallways and the classrooms and the sanctuary itself. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but being a pastor and having to come up to churches late at night, on many occasions, churches at night, at midnight, in the dark, when there's nobody else in them, are scary. I mean, they really are. They're scary. And when you hear weird sounds, they're even scarier, especially bang, bang, clang, clang, bang, 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 bang. It's terrifying. And here I am shaking in my shoes, my flashlight's trembling. I'm trying to get over to put the worship bulletins down at the entryway so the ushers could get them in the morning. And I still had to set up everything for communion and everything else. And I'm terrified, I'm frightened. And I couldn't. And just like here, the light switches are on the pulpit on the far side of the sanctuary, which I had to traverse in the dark with a flashlight. And the walls going bang, bang, clang, clang. I was terrified. And as I was crossing the sanctuary to flip on the lights to feel better, I had this strange sense that I was being not just followed, but watched, but not in a negative way. It switched from being frightening to being comforting. And when I reached the pulpit and I leaned over and I threw the switches and the lights came on in the sanctuary and I turned and looked around and I saw in North Carolina, I think it's obligatory that every single Methodist church has this painting of Jesus standing there knocking on a door. Y'all seen that painting? And I looked at that painting above the altar and I felt my heart, which had been racing, begin to slow down. And I realized I was on holy ground. I was on holy ground. I breathed a sigh of relief, began to set everything up on the altar, get ready for communion the next morning. Realizing that no matter where I had been in the building, it didn't matter. I was on holy ground, and I was about a holy mission with a holy purpose for the Holy One. But being on holy ground can be frightening. It can be terrifying. It can be awe-inspiring. God says to Moses here on Mount Horeb, he says, The land on which you are standing, the turf on which you are standing, is holy ground. Take off your shoes to recognize, to admit, to accept that this is holy ground. And I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it says Moses went to his face and hid his face from the Lord for fear of seeing God. He was on holy ground, and yet holy ground can be sometimes daunting, even a little frightening. We are on holy ground. Moses is there. He had been doing his daily duties. He had been shepherding the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. He's taking care of his responsibilities. He sees this bush burning. He turns aside to go see it, and God speaks to him from it. And he takes his sandals off, and he's on his face, and he's in terror, and he's in fear, and he doesn't know what God is going to want or ask of him. God identifies himself as God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he says, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, Moses, who's escaped from Egypt and had murdered an Egyptian taskmaster. He knew about the misery of his people there, of God's people there in Egypt. And so you'd think that hearing this word, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, you'd think he'd go, yippee! Let's go, God! No. Keep in mind, he's on holy ground. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I'm a nobody. I was a murderer even. I can't go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. I can't do that. And God's response is simple. I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. I will be with you. That ought to be enough, right? Nod your heads. Is that enough? I will be with you. Nod your heads. Okay. Good. Well, no. No. If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I to say to them? I mean, after all, we don't know your name. The Canaanites, they know the name of their God. The Hittites, they know the name of their God. The Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, they all know the names of their gods. Baal and Asherah and Molech, Lotan, they know the names of their gods. But we don't know your name, God. So if they're going to ask me, who sent you to do us and to deliver us, what do I tell them? He's arguing with God. Remember, he's on holy ground. He's arguing with God. Firstly, who am I to do this? Now, Who am I to say has sent me? Well, God answers the question, I am has sent you. If they ask you, who has sent you, tell them, the God who is has sent you. That's what the I am means. His name, Yahweh, means I am. I exist. I am the one who is. The God of all these other peoples, they are not. Moloch is not. Baal is not. Asherah is not. Lotan is not. Yahweh Elohim is the one who is. The one who is, who exists by his very nature. The to-be verb in Hebrew is Yahweh. God names himself with the to-be verb. That's interesting for those of us who like grammar. So he answers the question. I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Well, you think that would be enough. So, who am I to go? I will be. You think that'd be enough? Well, who am I to say has sent me? I am has sent you. You think that would be enough, right? No. No. Oh, my Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now, that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I stutter. Don't send me, God. I stutter. I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I stutter when I talk. Sound like you're talking pretty good to God right now, Moses. You're on holy ground and you're arguing with God. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Moses came up with a whole lot of excuses. Who am I to do this? Who am I to say sent me to do this? I don't know what to say. God's response is very simple. I will be with you. I am the one who is. Oh. We have excuses for not doing what God calls us to do, too. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have training. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. We can come up with whole lots of excuses too, just like Moses. But we also are standing on holy ground. We also have heard the holy word of God, in our case, in Jesus Christ. We also have heard the promise, I will be with you. God says to Moses, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds really good. I'm sending you, and I will be with you. My name is Yahweh Elohim. I am the one who is. The God who exists, the real God who exists. And if you don't know what to say, I will speak through you. I will give you the words to say. You don't have to worry about your stuttering problem, Moses. You think all of that would be enough, right? Shake your heads no. It's not. Oh, Lord, please send someone else. So excuses, 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 excuses. Who am I to go? Who am I to say sent me? What am I to say? I can't speak. And God has an answer for every one of those. So when God has wiped out all of Moses' excuses, Moses simply says, please send someone else. I don't want to go. Moses didn't want the job. And so frequently, neither do we. But God calls us. God has called us. God calls us and enables us to speak and to act. Just as God called Moses, attracted him with the burning bush, spoke to him through the bush, told him to take his shoes off the land on which is holy. He has a holy conversation with God. He argues with God throughout it. But God answers all of his questions. God beats down all of his complaints and excuses. And in the end, he says, I don't want to go. We too do the same thing.
And when we say to God, we don't want to go,
God says to us, what God said to Moses. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you. And God is with us. That's what worship is about. An opportunity to be fed with holy words, holy conversation, holy study, holy songs, holy food and drink. We come into the presence of the Holy One, Yahweh Elohim, the creator of this universe. And we ourselves, even though we complain, even though we try to say no, even though we don't want to do it, we find ourselves being empowered by God to act with holy words and holy actions, expressing God's love to all. Today, we hear God calling us to act, to speak, to serve with a cup of water, to feed the hungry, to help the homeless, to help those who've been struck by natural disasters, to express the love of God to all in words and in deeds. God has called us to holy ground. God has called us with holy words. God has given us a holy mission: proclaim the gospel. God gives us holy food to strengthen and nourish us. God's calling to Moses was, I send you to Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt. God says to us that we are sent to deliver our sisters and our brothers out of captivity to sin and death through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel calls us to acts of faith and love and justice and mercy. The gospel calls us to not only speak the good news, but to share the good news, to live the good news, to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and through our actions and our words, seek justice and resist evil and oppression in every guise they present themselves. That's our baptismal affirmation, friends. And to do this, God has given us holy ground, God has given us holy words, God has given us fellowship, holy conversation, God has given us holy food and drink, strength and nourishment to do it. My brothers and sisters, let's be about it. Let's be about proclaiming the gospel with words and deeds. Let's take our excuses and set them aside and hear what God said to Moses, God's saying to us, I will go with you. I will give you the words to speak. By implication, I will give you the actions to do. And I will feed you with my very presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, you promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself over for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray as we normally do here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.